Welcome back to Real Bearded News with Sean and Miriam. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I was laughing through the whole intro.
Oh. Just the way that I like it.
Uh-huh.
Just the way that I like it.
That's good.
Well, another week has come by and we have officially... You are dying.
I'm
sorry. Tears are coming out.
Yeah.
I love it. Perfect. And you are red as a tomato. A pale tomato, but
yeah.
A tomato nonetheless.
Sometimes the paler you are, the more tomato you get.
That is true. That is true.
It's a proverb I live by.
It's a proverb by who?
I live by.
Oh, that you live by. I heard it's a proverb by Love By. And I was like, who the hell is Love By, bro?
No one.
You. That's your pseudonym?
Yep.
Nice.
That's how I want you to introduce me that way from now on.
Perfect. Nice. So I'm no longer here with Miriam. I'm here with Love By.
Yep.
There you go.
It's my stage name.
That's fair. I have one, so you can have one too.
Yeah. I always forget that you have one.
That's fair. Even though you met me by the stage name. Yeah. That's fair. That's perfectly fair. But yeah, another week. So now we're done with all six Scream movies. So now we have to move on to new material. Which is always fun, but we are talking about Renfield. I was able to watch it before it came out. You watched it after it came out. So I'll just ask you this question as a pre-question. What'd you think of it?
I liked it. I thought it was just a fun movie. I really enjoyed watching it because I could tell they had fun making it, which I've talked about before, is that that's a really big thing for me in movies, especially in comedies. I laughed. I really enjoyed it. It was heartfelt at times, and it was just a fun movie. I would recommend it to anyone that's not for the... I do have to say it's not for the faint of heart because there is quite a bit of gore, but it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I didn't think it was as funny as that dude that was sitting next to my wife.
Oh, gosh.
That guy was laughing hard. Oh. Like, that man was getting his feet tickled. I know you hate the analogy because it has feet in it, but like, just imagine someone's foot getting tickled with like a feather. Uh-huh. That's how hard he was laughing. Even at the parts that I was like,
dude, it's not that funny.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if it's just because, like, here's the thing, I enjoy comedies. I like watching comedies with people too. I think comedies get ruined for me when someone laughs a little too hard at things. Because I'm just like, right now I have to be that guy kind of a thing. Like, I have to play the role of like, you need to calm down because now you're embarrassing me. Like, this guy, I wasn't with him, but he was embarrassing me.
Yeah.
All right. He laughed a little too hard at the racial jokes that we had in that movie. Mm-hmm. He was black, so it's fine. But he still laughed a little too hard. I'm like, calm down. All right. Uh-huh. We need the balance here. But no, I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun in it. My wife hated it. She hated anything that Nicolas Cage was in. She doesn't like him. She can't stand him. I, on the other hand, loved every scene with Nicolas Cage in it. I thought it was hilarious, even when he started killing people. I love that part. That was my favorite part of the whole movie. So what was your favorite part of the movie?
My favorite part of the movie? I really enjoyed the montage of Renfield becoming like a normal person, because
right.
He like comes into the meeting and they like give him all this advice. He starts reading these books and there's like this happy song playing and he's like painting his apartment and like has this like cute little studio apartment. And I enjoy a good montage. I thought that it was great. And I think that it just kind of incorporated a lot of stuff from the self-help group. And it's like, this is actually something that you could see done in like real life, but it's like way over the top, which
the stupid little posters of
like, yeah, like you can do it.
Yeah. Like hang in there. Inspirational
YOLO.
Posters. Yeah. The YOLO poster.
Yeah.
That made me laugh a lot. My favorite part was when Dracula goes to his house.
Uh-huh.
And he has a stupid welcome in.
Oh my gosh.
And the little floor mat. That I thought that was hilarious because it just goes well with like vampiric lore, right? That you have to invite them in and stuff. Yeah. So I thought that was hilarious, just like the little welcome in one.
Yeah.
A minor spoiler for everybody. There's a welcome in, Matt.
Yeah. And he's like, I messed up.
Yeah. Like, I really got to get rid of that, which is great. Uh-huh. In Hispanic culture, we have a lot of like those myths too of like you have to welcome things into your home. So a couple of things is, which is weird to say out loud because everybody knows I love horror movies. I don't own any physical copies of horror movies. Because we were told from a very young age that invites evil spirits into your home.
Interesting.
So I don't own anything physical. Uh-huh. Digital, go to town. I even own The Exorcist, like, digitally, but I don't own physical copies of horror movies.
That's interesting.
So all of the movies are, like, action movies. I mean, I have Happy Death Day, but that's not even a horror movie anymore. What's the scariest movie that I have up there?
I was going to say, you do have The Appearance, which you just let me borrow and bring into my own house.
Oh, yeah. The Appeared.
Yeah, The Appeared, not The Appearance.
See,
yeah.
Here's the thing. That, to me, is not a horror movie. Mm. That it plays a lot with like a historical thing. Uh-huh. So to me, it's not a horror movie. It's just like historical fiction with ghosts in it.
Fair.
So it doesn't even play like that to me either. Yeah. So you're welcome. You could have that.
Yeah,
now.
Thanks. Yeah. I've now welcomed it into my own home.
Whatever was haunting me a few months ago.
Yeah, exactly. I woke up dead, like out of a dead night's sleep last night at 4 in the morning. And I was like, this is because of Sharon. At least
just
it wasn't 3.
It. Yeah, you just
and
missed it.
I was
it.
Like, oh no.
Wait until you start hearing the knocks.
Oh no.
That's the good time. But Renfield, so the whole story of Renfield is, Renfield himself is a familiar. Mm-hmm. He kind of plays like the Igor of the movie. Mm-hmm. Or he is Igor, just not ugly and hunched. He's actually a very handsome, sun-depraved human who happens to be immortal, which to me was weird because to be immortal, he should have been like a vampire kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have, like, I guess like Dracula just gave him some of the powers.
Yeah.
Which was the immortality part, at least, and the hunger
for
blood. Which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and he has like the superhuman strength and stuff when he fights.
The speed.
Yeah.
Not as fast as Dracula, but some speed, which as you get through the movie, like Dracula tells him a couple of things that you realize there could have been improvements from Renfield, but he's a pretty nice guy. Mm-hmm. We'll leave it at that. He's a pretty nice guy.
Yeah.
So Renfield, familiar to Dracula, his servant, his slave, he brings him food. So that he can munch on. And Dracula has a very specific diet. Mm-hmm. And I think his diet was set in the trailer.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. So the diet that he would like to have is a busload of cheerleaders.
Uh-huh. Male or female. It doesn't matter the gender.
I thought that was great. Yeah. You know I don't discriminate. I thought that was perfect. Nuns.
Uh-huh.
Bunch of nuns.
Yeah.
What was the last one?
I'm trying to remember.
It was cheerleaders, nuns, because he sees all three of them at one point.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
It's like, I feel like we should look it up or something.
But it was something that it was innocent.
Yeah.
Not that the cheerleaders are innocent in a sense, but the nuns are at least. Yeah. Right. And so that's his very specific diet. And it's worth mentioning because Renfield doesn't bring him that specific diet. He brings him food, but not of that caliber. Mm-hmm. And the reason Dracula wants that is because he wants to come to full power faster. And the types of food that he is bringing him, it's getting him there, but it's a little slower, even though he's able to have nutrients and stuff. But he wants to, you know, feel rejuvenated again. Mm-hmm. So our plot thickens when Renfield decides to save someone that he starts to like. Mm-hmm. And some people find out where Renfield is or where he should be at.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they go in there and Dracula's there and welcomes them in the most Dracula way ever, which is turning into a bunch of bats and starts eating them, which I thought was dope. I love that scene.
Uh-huh.
That's such a good CGI scene. Mm-hmm. I was like, because they didn't dwell too much on the fact that he has his power. It just happened. Mm-hmm. And then we went back and forth. I thought it was dope.
Yeah.
Which allows Dracula to become to power, like full power. Mm-hmm. But Renfield's having some, you know, what some conscious
like,
issues,
second guessing what he's doing with his life, and like kind of a bit of a crisis, you know.
So he bumps into, or he comes to this support group because of what he was doing for Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds support in this group.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
But then other things happen that lead to more things, and we loved everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was great. That is your very vague retelling or summary of Renfield.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get into the deeper stuff.
Yeah.
What message do you get personally from Renfield?
Yeah. I think I get the message of you can't really face yourself until you like admit what you've done wrong, basically. Because you learn at the beginning of the movie that Renfield became a familiar because he wanted to have this money and everything for his family. And then you learn like eventually that like he feels kind of bad and he like kind of admits what he's done wrong, and only after he does that can he really become who he wants to be, and he kind of starts becoming more of a hero than a follower. And so you kind of have to take that internal look before you can start escaping these toxic relationships that you then see in the movie, which they say. And so if you have that courage to look inside yourself to become better, helps you and it helps everyone else, you know.
Yeah.
And what do you think? What's the message you take away?
It was a 12-step program for me.
Nice.
Well, not for me. I just felt like it was a 12-step program.
Yeah.
Right, where you know, we're looking inward first before we try to fix a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like stop blaming the world for your issues. Stop blaming that your ex. Stop blaming your boss. Look inward first.
Yeah.
Once you look inward, you could start realizing that maybe, I don't want to say you are the problem, but maybe you weren't helping the problem.
That's fair, yeah.
You know, maybe you exacerbated the situation just a little bit, just enough to create that hostile environment that you were in. And you don't have the strength because you're not looking inward. You're looking outward. You want to blame other people. Once you start not blaming yourself, but start taking responsibility for the part that you have, you could go ahead and start changing things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Renfield showed, right? Like he was this weak, pale person. And as the movie progresses, you could see it in his pigment too, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Like that was a really good storytelling tool, was he's very pale, very dark, very ugh.
Like sunken. And
yeah. Like you don't want to see him. As the movie progresses, he starts looking more human, more fuller, right? He starts having a little bit more pigment in his skin.
Yeah.
We see that growth. You also see the growth in his story arc as well as why he is starting to get that strength. Where is he getting that strength? It's no longer from external sources, but it's within, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
And I love the message of like, hey, let's take power back, right? Let's be responsible, because we've had movies that are like, hey, you know what? Take the power back, but blame everybody else, which is usually fucking someone over.
Yeah.
This one was take the power back by looking inward first.
Yeah.
Take responsibility for what you can, and then you could go ahead and change the world.
Totally.
Michael Jackson starts with the man in the mirror.
Perfect. Perfect reference. Love it.
You can never go wrong with Michael Jackson's reference.
Exactly.
Depending on where you feel about Michael Jackson. But for us, you can never go wrong with a Michael Jackson reference. What did you like the most about the movie? So we said, hey, great story. Awesome story. Great message.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you like about the movie?
I really liked the set design of a lot of stuff. For example, there's like Dracula's lair inside of the hospital. And whoever designed it, it was awesome, because they have like Dracula's chair, and then from the ceiling they have like all these bags of blood like hung up like decorations with like this red light behind it. So it just makes it look really ominous, and it's like a totally like broken down hospital, but it just has that creep factor, which is really cool, which I think really helps, because the movie is a comedy, but it's also a horror. And so having that deep, dark Dracula's lair, which I think is necessary for a Dracula movie, like was just so perfect. And on the lighter side of things, there's a scene where two characters are like sitting up on like a balcony in a restaurant, and they're just like sitting in front of this really beautiful like church. And it's so interesting to see the dynamic, like the two different versions of kind of where they are, because Dracula is always in the dark and in the deep depths of somewhere. But then you see, like, as Renfield's getting better, he's like in brighter environments and he's happier and everything looks so much better. And so I think they did a really good job of making it so different between the two, especially as the movie goes on, which I think is really clever set design, story, cinematography, and everything.
Yeah. I think the set design was pretty cool. I love the, now we're getting technical. I love the color, like mm-hmm. the color grade that the movie had. Your blacks weren't too black. Mm-hmm. They were dark, obviously. But they weren't too dark where you're like, it wasn't the Batman where you're like, what the hell is happening yeah. on the screen?
Okay? It's like, I see one little light moving across somewhere. I don't know what's going on.
Like, yeah, like it wasn't that. And your brights weren't like, holy am I out in the sun? Like,
yeah. Have I died and gone to heaven? Like, what's going on?
Straight supernova, right? Which a lot of films these days are having that issue where either yeah. we're too dark or we're too bright, which is making it kind of like washed out. Kind of like when we were talking about Scream 4, mm-hmm. it has that film in it.
Yeah.
Don't know what the hell that's about.
Like weird filter thing. Yeah.
So I really did like the way it was shot. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, you could tell the cinematographer knew how to get it lit correctly. He knew how to get the camera where he wanted it. He knew his positions.
Uh-huh.
And the editor knew how to put those things together and have a nice little color grade on top of that.
Yeah.
It just looked very aesthetically pleasing, which is weird because recently we haven't had movies that are aesthetically pleasing. Like, if we think about how history has affected us humans, right? Like, most of the time when we come out of really deep shit, the movies that come out aren't that bright.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally you have like a bright movie, but it has like a lot of dark themes in it. Like, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
You know? Right now, coming out of COVID, we weren't getting a lot of bright, happy-go-feel movies. We were getting a lot of, like, action or dark movies that you're like, damn, if I wasn't depressed before...
Now that I'm done with this movie, I guess I am.
I guess I'm done with life today. I'm just going to go to bed and lay there until this is, like, blows over, right? Uh-huh. But that wasn't it. This was the first, I felt like, bubbly movie that wasn't, like... the emoji movie kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I really like that.
Yeah.
I liked whoever took their time to like bring out this movie at this time. It's a perfect time.
Yeah.
Because it was definitely necessary. Like I said, coming out of COVID, you have a lot of people who were cooped up that were dealing with their mental illness in a very different way, in a way that no one has been used to, especially if you were living with someone else and their mental illness wasn't coming out to the surface. And you're like, holy crap, you're a little hard. It's a little hard to deal with this right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
This movie, once again, plays that part where it's like, look inward first, go get the help that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. Like, I just thought that was perfect.
Yeah.
Because I was that person where it was just like, oh man, like this is hard.
Same.
I need to deal with this. It's no one else's fault now. Like, I can't blame anyone else.
Uh-huh.
It's me.
Yeah.
It's not them, it's me. So it was good. I love that about it.
Yeah,
it's a good reflecting movie.
Yeah, and I love that we just had so, like, it was such a fun movie to watch. And, like, I don't know. It just, you leave the theater feeling good, which is really nice. Like you said, it's nice to feel that way because it has been a while, I think, for movies that aren't kids' movies to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It reminded me of, like, when I had first watched Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Where I love Shaun of the Dead. I watched it when I was like 14-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And so it came out during a time where Dawn of the Dead had happened. So if I was 14, 9/11 had just happened like 3 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
And so Shaun of the Dead being kind of poking fun at the zombie genre, specifically Dawn of the Dead, and just being that happy, like very bloody-ish movie, I was like, whoa, this is amazing, right? Like 14-year-old me. Now, 32-year-old me, I was like, whoa, this is amazing because it gets gory.
Mm-hmm.
Gory in the sense that people get dismembered.
Yeah.
But the blood is so obviously fake and it looks like someone's just throwing like handfuls of blood outward every single time, or just like a freaking little asset of blood. comes out of nowhere.
Exactly.
I thought that was perfect.
Yeah.
I was like, this fits so, like, imagine John Wick with that type of aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just disconnect really fast.
Yeah.
This movie sets you up from the beginning, understanding this is what this is going to be throughout the entire time. Get used to it right now or else you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
I got used to it so fast. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love seeing the little blood splatters here and here.
Same.
It was great.
Yeah.
It made me kind of like want to do something like that, which I loved.
Totally. And I think it also just helps like whenever I'm like, oh, what movie do I want to watch? It's usually like recently it's been horror and like I like comedy, but this is, I think, just such a good combination of the two that it was like exactly what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
It like for some reason satisfied anything that I wanted in a movie at the time, you know, which was just super fun. And again, the actors were great. Nicolas Cage was great. Nicholas Holt is his name,
yeah,
right? Yeah. He was great. We were talking about this a little bit off screen or off air, that this really showed that he can lead a movie. And we're about to see that more because he's lined up to play more roles in the future.
Nosferatu coming soon with Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Garfield as well.
Nice.
And we've seen Nicholas Holt before. He's been in other movies. He was in Warm Bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
That's another zombie comedy.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person that separates zombie movies with horror.
Fair.
I don't think they roll in the same category.
Mm-hmm.
Like it dips its toes in it, but I don't think it's a horror.
Uh-huh.
But Warm Bodies was a really good zombie film. Kind of like Zombieland.
Mm-hmm.
I think a little better than Zombieland, in my opinion. But
interesting.
Don't kill me. Please. And then he was in The Menu most recently, which he was just a dick.
Yeah, and he did a good job of being a dick.
Oh, goodness. He was so good in that movie, though.
Yeah.
I like her, though. What's her name?
Anya Taylor-Joy?
Yeah.
Oh, I love her. She's my favorite female actress right now and probably will be for a long time.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't put her up there yet for me.
That's fair.
But so far, anything that she's been in, I'm like, you could act.
Mm-hmm.
You're a good actress. I'm not mad.
Yeah.
I'm not mad that I'm seeing you over and over again because she has
range.
Range, yeah. She has a really good range from being funny to just being, you know, in The Menu, she was kind of stubborn and kind of like asshole-y.
Yeah.
And she has had some horror elements as well.
She was in The Witch.
And she was in The Witch.
Yeah.
She really has that range and I'm really enjoying my time with her.
Yeah. And I think she's really good at like leading a movie and just... She's definitely a main character, which you see in The Queen's Gambit, which I really enjoy as well. That, like, she dominates the screen when she's there, and I think it's great. She's awesome.
You know what's crazy? So, speaking of Nicholas Holt, right? Like, he's in a film with Ralph Fiennes.
Mm.
Or
Ralph Fiennes? Fiennes?
Isn't it Fiennes?
It might be Fiennes. I'm not great at pronouncing it.
He's in a movie with Voldemort.
Yes.
And so is she. And they both weren't outshined by Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John Leguizamo was also in The Menu, which we didn't see much of him. But even when they did share screen time, you're not like, oh, I wonder what John Leguizamo's doing. You're more like, when is he going to die kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But Nicholas Holt in this film, like you said, or like we were discussing off air, he shows that he has that main character energy.
Mm-hmm.
Nicolas Cage is a very... huge personality.
Yeah.
And that wasn't overshadowed at all.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a very balanced. Awkwafina is also showing that she could play. She's not showing much range so far. Because when I had, when I first saw her, I think it was in Crazy Rich Asians.
Mm.
Then I love Nora from Queens.
Because
she's just hilarious.
Uh-huh.
So I've only seen her in comedic roles.
Same, yeah.
So she's not showing that she could do anything outside of that comedy right now.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to seeing her expand.
Me too, yeah.
Because she's really good at support characters.
Mm-hmm.
Really good as a support character. Nora's from Queens. She's a main character, but it's different. It's a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really different energy there. But he is showing, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to see him more focused in the center.
For real, yeah.
He's going to be great. It's going to be a good time. But... all right, so let's talk about Renfield as far as the character's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Original character, he was a lunatic.
Yeah.
Who ate bugs.
Yeah, bugs to bigger animals. Yeah.
To bigger animals.
Yeah.
Which shows the progression of sin. Do you think from his original characterization, did he keep any of that original stuff to the new Renfield?
I think in a way he did, because we definitely see, because we get to see Renfield from like originally when he became a familiar from like the 1800s, and we see his progression through those years in the first little bit of the movie. And he originally had like joined Dracula's group of people, and Dracula specifically, to become powerful and get money and everything. And so you see just his desire to become better and better and more and everything. And like, he kind of preys on that in a way. Mm-hmm. And we see him helping Dracula and not really feeling guilty about it until recently, especially when he sees Awkwafina's character like making a choice and standing up for herself. And like, he is impressed by that. And he's like, oh, that's what I want to do. And so I think up until that point in the movie, he very much like fits that character from the original Dracula, and he is that Renfield. But I think just the big part of this movie is so that he is turning away from that. He's becoming something different, something better, something just more strong and independent than he is within the original lore of Renfield.
Yeah. I would like to think, my headcanon, it is that the Dracula is the same Dracula, and this is the same Renfield from the original Dracula, right? The mm-hmm. That movie where Renfield is presented originally. And that it's just a progression of time. Like, it's my headcanon that this is just the same dude from that time, and that he still is that little, you know, douchebag from back then. But like you said, once he met Awkwafina's character, that, you know, he's like, maybe there is more to life. Because at some point, he must have felt like he wasn't getting it, right? Because mm-hmm. at one point, we know that he felt, when he, I think it was like the chick's name is Mina, where Dracula wanted to give her immortality and not him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was jealous, so he's telling her, like, yeah, don't hang out with Dracula. But it was jealousy, it wasn't anything else. So now, him getting over that, because now that he's immortal, he's like, oh man, like, there was so much more to life than this. So, I like to think that it's the same character.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, that's what it's going to be in my headcanon. It's just the same character.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time. But, what rating would you give Renfield?
I think I'd probably give it a 4 out of 5. I thought it was so fun. The story was strong. The characters were strong. I think everyone played their role really well. I really enjoyed the over-the-top gore. I think the only thing for me is that it is a little more lighthearted movie, and it didn't take itself very seriously. Not that I really wanted it to take it any more seriously, because that's really the point of it, is to be a lighthearted, fun movie. But I kind of reserve the fives for like very best ones I've ever seen. And Renfield is great and awesome, but it doesn't quite hit that 5 for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. I really enjoyed watching it in theaters. Super fun. I think it is one that could just be seen at home, but go to the theater whenever you want, because the theater's awesome. So
for sure.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 3. Just because it wasn't anything where I'm like, damn, that's, yes, there's a lesson in there, but it's not like, damn, that lesson is really going to be amazing, and it's going to be throughout time. And I took it to heart. Mm-hmm. It didn't make me cry. It made me laugh.
Yeah.
But it didn't make me cry, you know?
Fair.
And so a 3, because it's a good movie. It's a very good movie. Very amazing actors all throughout. I like the main plot and its subplot. I thought those two were pretty good. Corruption in the police department. Something that you see almost everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about police corruption and how some, you know, people tend to control that. That was good. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, same.
It's important to talk about it somehow, right? So a 3 out of 5. Not too bad.
Yeah.
I would say go into $5 Tuesday. It's not
fair.
It's not something that you should wait so long to watch. But do go ahead and pay $5 for you and your girlfriend or your kid. If you have a kid, I would take kids to go watch it.
Mm.
I think it's a good movie for children to learn. Stop blaming your parents. Blame yourself first.
Uh-huh.
I do like that, you know? So I would take kids to go watch it. I don't remember if there was some mild cursing in there, I think.
Yeah, I do agree with that, actually. If your kid is not super sensitive to gore, this is actually legitimately something I would recommend, because it's like mild cursing. I think they say the F word once, maybe. Yeah, there is over the top gore, but like we said before this, we're like, it kind of looks like Jell-O. It almost looks like visual effects, which it is visual effects, but it's not super real looking, like Scream or something like that. There's no nudity, nothing like that. It's like, I don't even know if, yeah, it's not at all. Like, I think the R rating was for the gore and like maybe a couple of F words, maybe.
Yeah, I would agree. So $5 Tuesday, take your girlfriend, take your kids if you have any, take your friends, go out in a big group, you know. $5 Tuesdays exist for that very same reason, movies that you're not sure if you want to go watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, 3 out of 5, $5 Tuesday, definitely safe to go do. This is one of those movies that like every element of the filmmaking process matters.
Mm-hmm.
Story, good. Editing, good job. Visual effects, killing it.
Uh-huh.
No pun intended, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, like everything about it just was enjoyable.
Yeah, and for me, it's almost like it scratched an itch I didn't know was there.
Yeah.
So that's
fair.
So it is one of my favorites. It's honestly probably one of my favorite horror comedies that I've seen.
Fair.
So it's just a lot of fun. I highly recommend.
Same. And above it all, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, exactly.
You have Nicolas Cage in it, so you can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That is Renfield. That's our review. It's go watch it. Do you change your opinion from waiting to go watch it?
I think your point on $5 Tuesday is a really good point. Like, I think it is one that if you're like a total like movie head, want to go watch it, want to watch every movie in theaters, I'd say, yes, this is one you should, because it's totally worth it. But like, yeah, it's a $5 Tuesday movie. It's a lot of fun. I don't think that the visual effects are so big that they have to be seen on the big screen. But it's fun, and I think it's totally something you should go see as a group. I watched it with my sister. You watched it with your wife, and did your kid go?
No, just
my wife and I. It's fun. It's definitely one I'd recommend to go watch with other people. It's just a lot of fun, and you get to laugh and talk about it after. So
yeah. So there you go. That's it. $5 Tuesday. That's the winner for it, unless you really don't want to, which is fine. But go $5 Tuesday. Yeah. It's $5, bro.
Go. Come on.
You know, it's on a Tuesday.
Go support the movie theaters.
Honestly.
They got to stay in business because we want to go.
We want to go to movie theaters. So
you have to go.
You have to go. But that's it. So thanks so much for listening today. We appreciate it. And between the next time that we see you and we tell you what you should be watching or you should just avoid, don't forget, keep reading those comic books, keep watching that anime, rock and roll, and above it all, stay nerdy.